Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
309 Jordana Green, thank you for spending some time with me today. Just me and Dan in the studio today because, as you know, Paul Douglas's father had a stroke a few days ago, and Paul decided this morning that it was time that he go and be with Folker and his sister Joan, who has been caring for him. Folker remains in the hospital, and they are keeping him for a little bit. He was having trouble regulating his blood pressure, and some other issues were happening. So Paul is, I believe, wandering around the Detroit airport right now. I checked with him right before the show because he is then on a flight to Pennsylvania to be with his father, as he should be. And so many of you called into the show and posted on Facebook that your advice would be to most certainly run to your father and just be there. You know, if he gets out of the hospital, great, you get an extra visit. But God forbid something did happen to our beloved Folker, then he would certainly want to be there, and we want him there. So thinking about Paul and Folker and Joan and the whole family, and hopefully Paul will call in during the show at some point and give us an update on his dad. So thank you so much for joining me. But I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here because I got this voicemail, and I'm pretty sure the cops are on their way.
The reason you have received this phone call from our department is to inform you that there's a legal enforcement action filed on your social security number for fraudulent activities. So before this matter goes to the state courthouse, and before you get arrested, if you need any information or have any questions, kindly call us back at 513-804-2684. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure they said I get arrested if I have any questions. I'm not really sure that how that works because I have a lot of questions. And that came a few days ago, and I don't know, they haven't staked out my house yet, and I haven't been served a warrant for my arrest. But the time now when I got this voicemail, I'm a lot smarter than I was the first time I got a voicemail like that. Have you gotten any of these scam artists that leave you a voicemail or spam your phone, call you all the time, and tell you that you're going to be arrested right now if you don't pay off your IRS debt and you have to send money somewhere electronically because obviously otherwise the IRS is going to scoop you up in their paddy wagon and send you off to jail? And then did you fall for it? Maybe mom and dad fell for it. Maybe even some of you young taxpayers, 18, 19 years old or just out of college, first time filing an actual tax form, and you're not sure what to do with a call like this. I got a call like this a few years ago, and it was probably right after my divorce. So I was filing separately, you know, for the first time in a long time. I was married a long time. And I panicked like an idiot. I look back on that thinking how my accountant must have just chuckled and nearly fell off his chair because I panicked when I heard the voicemail and got him Frank Newts, my accountant. I called him up right away. I go, Frank, what is this? I'm afraid. Didn't I pay my taxes? What the hell? Are they coming to get me? How am I going to feed my kids? And he's like, girlfriend, listen, you back away from the voicemail button and that's a scam, girlfriend. You hit delete. And you don't worry about that. And I'm like, are you sure, Frank? Because I have my kids and I need to get my job and I can't go to jail. And he's like, honey, he says, the IRS never calls you on the phone. They communicate with letters and they don't scoop you up in a paddy wagon. You don't get arrested the next day. You have recourse. So he definitely talked me off that hysterical woman, Jordana ledge. And then I got this voicemail. It's always disconcerting, but I was smarter this time. Dan, have you gotten any of these spammers?
Oh, sure.
You get them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody gets them, I think, you know, at this point. There was some statistic the other week about the number of cellular calls now that are just spam, and it's some just obnoxious percentage.
Crazy.
So everybody's getting stuff like this. I don't remember getting them, like, around tax time, per se. It was more generic, the ones that I'd get, but it was that same computerized voice saying, you know, there is a warrant out if you do not call us, and, you know, we're going to come
scoop you up.
Give your parents cancer, whatever it is. I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to come kill your children. Whatever, we know where you live.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to come steal your dog. I don't know.
Terrible.
I don't know.
Okay, but you didn't freak? You just
no, because it's clearly a scam. And so I haven't gotten, I'm knocking on wood as I say this, I haven't gotten a bunch of many of them lately. I'm trying to remember the last time I got one.
Okay.
Verizon has a deal now where when you report something as a spam call, they block it and you don't ever even get it. I mean, it never even rings to your phone anymore.
How do you report it?
You literally click on the number and say, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's an option.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, so I don't even, you know, I don't know if they're just not rotating the numbers well enough anymore.
Yeah, you don't even get them.
Not recently, I haven't. So.
I love that. Did you fall for one? Did you get one? Did you get a live person and talk back? What's your story? 651-989-9226. These scams are insane, and they're all over the place. My husband, just this morning, handsome husband, received an email that he had me read because it was so outrageous and spam-like that it's hilarious. I'm going to read that to you in a minute, but you guys are sharing your stories. Paul's in St. Paul. Oh, Paul's in St. Paul. Hey, Paul, have you gotten these calls?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Like, you identify them right away, like, you know, car warranty, and you also have, what is it, the back brace, correct?
Okay.
Yep, and... So what I do is I get the live person on there, and if they're selling me a car warranty, I will just tell them that I'm calling them about the back brace that they ordered through the network of Doctors Association.
What's their response?
They don't know what to do. They're like, no, I called you. No, I'm calling you. And it's super hilarious, and they end up just hanging up on you then.
I love that. That is perfect. Paul, great call and good solution. I love that call. That was like when Jerry Seinfeld, there was a whole Seinfeld about this, and Seinfeld then asked for the telemarketer's phone number so he could call them back later when he was done with dinner and maybe they'd be having dinner. I mean, classic, classic response. Dave's in Minneapolis. Dave, you get these calls?
Well, the calls that I get, if I don't get ID on them, I don't answer them.
Right.
And then I call them right back. And usually it's a message from Verizon saying that the number I'm dialing is not in service or has been reassigned. And which the call just called me like a minute earlier. I have a list of 300 of those blocked in my phone, and I keep getting about 5 to 10 a week of those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's good that you block them, and good call, Dave. And that's good advice. And that's what I've been doing too. When I, you know, go back in the number after they leave the voicemail, and you block them, but mine just keep coming fast and furious. Mike's in Minneapolis. Jump in here, Mike.
Hey, I hope I get a live person on the other end if I'm there to pick it up. I keep a copy of, remember Allen Ginsberg's epic poem, Howl?
Yeah, well, I know Allen Ginsberg. Go ahead.
I just start reading that to him and see how far I can get.
That's good.
Or I try to sell them something.
Oh, I love it.
Hang up.
Turning the tables. Mike, good call. Thank you. That's fun. Dave in Cambridge. You guys are so clever. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Glad to be on. I've got a couple experiences, but the best one that I've gotten, and I'm retired, I'm sitting at home doing nothing most of the time. So when I get them, I've decided to play games with them, and I'll wait for the live person. And I give them a routine that I've pitched to them, and they hang up on me.
Oh, okay.
So when they call me again, I get about 3 seconds into it, and they hang up on me because they must have my number.
Dave, I love that you're entertaining yourself in your retirement.
You got to.
Well done, sir. Well done. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. Dave's in Apple Valley. Boy, you guys really get a lot of these calls, huh? Hey, Dave.
Hey, I always love to tell them exactly what I'm doing, what I'm eating for dinner, or driving in a car, where I'm going, just to keep them entertained. They usually end up hanging up on me.
That's good. I need to play this game because it is. It's like entertainment. Good call, Dave. Thank you.
I wonder if the bit is you try to keep, how long can you keep them on the line?
Yeah.
Before they hang up on you.
We should play that
game. What's your
record?
How many minutes? Yeah.
I have an app on my phone now where I can record calls. So I'm going to start doing that if they call again, and I'll entertain them.
And I will stop calling you.
John in White Bear Lake. Jump in, John.
Hi, I got the same type of issue. I've got a plumbing company, and I get all kinds of calls from local numbers from my bank and from my gas station and stuff. And when you know, it shows up on my caller ID, but it shows as a local number. And when you answer it, it's not. It's one of these sales stupid calls.
Sure.
And then same type of game. But now, like, my neighbor's got a new phone where he can block the calls, but now those people that are local can't get through.
I see.
They're scamming live active numbers.
So you got to be careful what you block.
you got to be careful what you block, because then those people can't get through. The real people.
That's a good point.
But if you call the person back, you know, if it just goes through and you don't answer it, and it just hangs up, you call them right back, and they're not. They say, "No, I didn't call you."
Mm.
It's just a ton of those. I'll get 15 to 20 a day on that.
I got it. Yeah, John, thanks for the call and that explainer.
Always a new scam coming out, something to screw us over.
That's it. It's like we can't keep up. It's like we
can't
keep
get rid of them.
Yeah. Good call, John, and good luck with the. What's your plumbing business? Plug it.
Manship Plumbing.
Manship Plumbing. Call John at Manship Plumbing. Thank you, sir, for the call. John's in White Bear Lake. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Well.
Hey, I had a funny one. I got an email not too long ago, and it said, we noticed that you were looking at porn at like 12:45 in the afternoon on such a date, and we got your contact list, and we took a video, and we're going to send this to all of your contacts. I kind of freaked out because I'm like, I don't remember if I was watching porn then or not, you know. But
you know, it could happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
So wait, John, what did you do? Because this is exactly the email that my husband got this morning.
Yeah. Okay. That was so funny. I just looked at my wife, and I'm like, I don't think I was doing it that early in the afternoon, was I? You know, we were joking about it, you know.
John, you're killing me. I love it. Thanks for your honesty. Hey, right? No judging. That's great, John. And it's not a real thing, by the way. My husband got this exact email this morning that either he was watching porn or had his camera on himself and he was doing something, whatever. And it says, I will send the video of you to all of your contacts. If you want to present this, transfer the amount of $730 to my Bitcoin address. If you don't know how, write to Google Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
That seems very reasonable, actually.
After receiving payment, I will delete the video and you will never hear from me again. I give you 48 hours to pay. I have a notice reading this letter. That's good English right there. And the timer will work when you see this letter. It goes on. Filing a complaint somewhere doesn't make sense. This email cannot be tracked by my Bitcoin address. I do not make any mistakes. If I find that you shared this message with someone, the video will be immediately distributed. Well, I guess that video's out there because my husband shared it with me. And there's no video. Unbelievable the things they try. Okay, lots of you are struggling with this robocall stuff. Todd and Christy, I see you. We'll continue your calls next. I got a crazy call from the IRS wanting to haul me away because I guess I had unpaid IRS debts. And, of course, it never happened because it was total spam. Handsome husband gets an email this morning that says the person sending it said that they have total access to his computer, that they can read his emails, and that they've been watching him for some time. They can turn on and off his camera, and they have access to all his contacts. Also, spam. But apparently it's a very common problem. Todd in Lakeville's been waiting on the line to tell us his spam story. Hey, Todd.
Hi, Jordana. I get many of those calls, and this call I got about 6 months ago, I was kind of in a festive mood, and I thought, I'm going to call him back. So the guy answers the phone. It's for the IRS. He says, I owe X amount of dollars, and I said, Connie, you got to pay it, like, sooner. They're going to come and get you. And I said, well, I don't have any credit cards, and I said, I can't really mail you a check. So I said, how about if I send it by carrier pigeon? What building are you in? And 30 seconds, he didn't say a word, and then he just hung up on me after that, but I was laughing so hard.
That's it. You got to play their game. Todd, great story. Christy's in Hopkins. Hey, Christy.
Hi. My husband does some refereeing for basketball, and he's got some pretty good whistles. So I try to keep one close by, and I've given a good whistle in the ear to a few callers.
Wow, you know, I almost never feel bad for these people, but I would feel bad for the person on the other end of Christy's phone.
Yep. Thanks. It's pretty loud.
It's pretty loud. Thanks for the call, Christy. These are great ideas. Let's see. We have Justin in St. Croix Falls. What was your scam, Justin?
Hi there. I figured I'd just call in and share my dad's joke.
Sure.
Yeah. He gets landline calls all the time. He's not even on his cell phone. So right when the phone rings, they check their caller ID, and if it's one of them numbers, he goes, hello, rescue, or he'll answer, rescue 911 emergency, please state your emergency, please. And it'll be silent. And then he'll go, please state your emergency, please. We're tracing your call. And he'll literally, right after he says that, he always gets them hanging up.
That's
never
great.
Gets the first. Oh, I find it really great. It's a great one.
That is great. I'm writing these down because they're all so clever. Justin, great call. Thank you. I love it. I love how smart you guys are responding to this. Let's see. Adam's in Minneapolis. Jump in here, Adam.
Hi. We all have good ways of dealing with this. I have a friend from Kenya. He got a call, kind of like yours, saying that he was in trouble with the law. Mm-hmm. He panicked and went right to the police station to try to get it fixed up because he thought he was going to be arrested.
Oh, my God. See, I feel terrible for people in that situation. Like, some elderly people fall for it, or maybe new taxpayers would get really nervous about this.
Exactly.
So what happened with the guy? I hope the police didn't laugh at him.
Oh, I mean, they told him that, you know, they tried to explain to him that he'll probably get 100 of these in his lifetime.
Yeah.
And unless you've actually done something wrong, not to sweat it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Good call, Adam. Yeah.
Have you, there's a guy named Tom Mape. He's a comedian.
Okay.
He's on YouTube. You can check it out. He does a bit called the telemarketer nightmare. And he does a little 3-minute bit about how he turns the call on the telemarketer.
I love it. I love it. Next segment I do on this, I'll pull some of that bit, Adam. Thanks for the call. Good call. I love your ideas, though. Everybody's so clever. John's in Buffalo. John, your scam?
Well, you know, I'm just so angry about this one because there's nothing I can do.
Hmm.
Got the old credit card. We can lower your interest rate.
Uh-huh.
You know, that phone call. And pushing two doesn't do anything, so I pushed one to talk to the person, and I said, we pay off our credit cards every month. We don't have an interest payment on our credit card. So unless you would like to pay me to use your credit card, we don't need to discuss anything. And the filth on the other end of the line spewed forth with some obscene comment about my wife and then a sexually explicit comment about my wife, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm getting fed up.
So the telemarketer just lost it and just started yelling expletives at you?
Well as I could understand, because of course he didn't speak that good of English.
I tell you,
he could say some words in English very well.
Yeah, very good. Oh, John, I'm sorry about that, honey. I am sorry, but thanks for the call and good heads up. Boy, that'll get you to slam down the phone very quickly. Let's see. Time for one more. Cynthia's in Buffalo. Cynthia, jump in here.
Yes, I sort of play with them. I tell them, I'm sorry, you've called into a crime scene. This is Officer Kilkenny. I will need the complete and accurate spelling of your name, please.
Do they ever respond?
Well, they usually burst into tears.
Because they don't know, hey, that you could be the real deal and you might be onto them. That's classic. Cynthia, great job. Great job. I'm totally, the reason I had that recording was because I just let it go to voicemail. And that's usually what I do. If I don't recognize the number, it says unknown. I generally don't pick it up. But folks are right. They're using local numbers or numbers that look familiar now because they're smarter. So sometimes I get.
And, you know, the explanation I heard on that, because, you know, for me, that's a dead giveaway that it's a scammer, right? If their first 6 digits of their phone number are the same as mine, then I know that this is going to be a scam call, right? But why would that work? Why do they do that if it's so obvious? Well, if you've got a family on a plan and you all have the same first 6 digits, then maybe you think it's one of the family members or something. Now, why you wouldn't have their number saved in your phone with their name and the ID and the whole thing, I don't know. But I guess that's what they're trying to prey on, is this idea that, you know, you're in this group of people that all have that same first 6 digits.
Mm-hmm.
The Google Pixel that I have, too, there's a screener program on there where I can tap a button and it'll read an automated message back to this person saying, this person's using the screener software. Please state your name and your business. And then I have the option, if they do that, they don't. They always hang up if it's a scam. But if they do that, I can then pick up the line. So it's not like I'm sending them to voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I said, 99% of the time they just hang up and then I don't even have to deal with a voicemail at that point.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I wonder if the iPhone has that.
I would have to think that Apple would come up with something similar.
You would think.
You would think.
But then I wouldn't get this great recording from the IRS that's hauling my behind to jail because I have some unpaid debts. And if I have any questions about it, they're coming to get me.
When you do get taken to jail, don't call me because I don't have bail money for you.
Paul's going to have to do the show remotely. It is 3:30. When we return, presidential candidate Governor John Hickenlooper took his mom to see an X-rated movie. Hear that story next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I got home and she had this huge dinner laid out. And I said, I promised Jed that we would go to the
the movie theater and see this new movie. You want to come? And it's an ex movie. I don't know. And, you know, I just, and she, I was sure that she wouldn't say no. I made a mistake. And she said, I'd love to go, because she didn't want to be left alone in the house again.
It was a pretty famous movie, too.
So I took my mother to see Deep Throat.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. That was the governor of Colorado and presidential hopeful John Hickenlooper, who in an interview with Dana Bash on CNN told the hilarious story about how he ended up taking his mom to see a porno movie. And of course, it led to the conversation with Dan Cook and I. There were porno movies in regular theaters? I don't remember a time where there were porn movies in regular theaters, but I guess we had X-rated movie theaters, so who knows where they were going. He claims he didn't know what an X-rated movie was. He was 18. I don't know. I believe him, but it was a hilarious story. So it got us thinking, we've all had that moment where you're either watching
TV. Not that moment.
Okay, not that one. Not that one. But you're watching TV or you might be at a movie theater and this scene comes on where it's just, explicit sex, or somebody says something that's inappropriate and there you are sitting next to Nana and nobody knows what to say. It happened to me when I was at home. It had to be, I guess, the 90s, the 80s. I was probably still living at home. Remember the movie Fatal Attraction? Glenn Close.
Oh, sure.
What's his name?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, thank you. And there's the scene in the elevator where they are going at it. I mean, he's pushing her up against the wall. She's pushing him up against the wall. He's got her hand up her skirt, blah, blah, blah. And if I tell you any more, we're going to have to start beeping out the show. And I'm sure I had seen the movie in the theater, but whatever. I plopped down on the couch and I'm watching it, and there's the scene. And my dad, I'm sure anytime somebody even says the word sex, gets up and leaves the room. He's just so shy and embarrassed and unevolved. And neither of us knew what to do. So we did what, you would do. Sat there just like with blinders on, stone-faced, and just both stared at the screen until the moment passed. And we never spoke of that time again. What did you do? My phone number is 651-989-9226. Here's how John Hickenlooper and his mom discussed the movie on the drive home.
And I said repeatedly, I think we should leave. I think we should go. And my mother was the kind of person that rarely went to a movie. She thought almost every movie would get on TV. Obviously not this one. But she really, once she paid, she was going to stay. And at the end, she knew that I was humiliated. And as we drove home, and you know how the dashboard in the old cars had that kind of green light? And I asked her, I said, well, that was some experience. And she says, well, I thought the lighting was very good in the movie.
Classic.
It's impressive that you can break down the lighting of a film like that.
She was focusing on the cinematography.
Sure.
It was very artful, the way it was shot.
The editing was fantastic.
I mean, the sound mixing, wow. So, Dan, you've had an experience like this, right?
Well, not like that. No, not like that. I do. So my dad and I will go see movies together as often as we can.
Uh-huh.
And there was a movie called The Watchmen, which was based on a graphic novel.
Okay.
And it was graphic being where there's a lot of violence and there was sex and, mm-hmm. So it's not like we didn't know what we were walking into.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a sex scene in the middle of the movie that went on for longer than it needed to. And it wasn't like graphic or super explicit, but enough where I don't want to be sitting next to my father while I'm watching this, right? And to be totally honest, he didn't want to be sitting next to me watching this. And it was like a 2-hour and 45-minute marathon movie, one of these things, and you're just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get up and leave, because then it's obviously why I'm getting up and leaving. But
And you're not leaving.
No.
So did you ever speak of that again?
Nope.
That's it.
Nope.
I mean, what else do you do?
We just both went, that wasn't very good, and that was it. We're done. We're done talking about it right then.
Oh, so you labeled the whole movie terrible because of the awkwardness and uncomfortability.
Not because of that, but I mean, it was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie all around. That didn't help.
It happens. And look, I'm not talking about the birds and bees conversation that you must do and you should do. You should talk about all of those things with your kids. Okay, maybe not your parents. They should have talked about that with you. But my goodness, those awkward, uncomfortable situations happen all the time. If you have a graceful way of getting out of it or just want to entertain us with your utter and sheer humiliation, please share with the group, because that'll just make us all feel better. My phone number is 651-989-9226. I mean, poor John Hickenlooper. I'm not quite sure how this got out in the media, but he did make himself a lot more relatable. And that is the goal of, well, I guess, you know, people in the media and certainly a presidential candidate. If you want to relate to the people, you just got to get yourself embarrassed in front of your mama. And boy, we've all been there. Diana in Hutchinson. Hey, Diana, how are you?
Hi, Jordana. I have a story for you. Back in 1984, my husband and I have been married 3 years. We were in Washington State visiting my in-laws. And
wait, with the in-laws. I'm nervous already. It's the in-laws.
Yeah. And my husband's parents were watching our 2-year-old son, and my husband said, I'm going to take you to the drive-in. I thought, cool, I love drive-ins.
Sure.
Well, I didn't like this drive-in. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Okay.
But the drive-in showed X-rated movies.
Okay, with the in-laws. So there's that.
Yes, He did not tell me this after the movie started.
So what did you guys do? Did you drive out?
Well, I told him, we kind of argued about it, and I'm like, I want to go home now. So we did. We left.
Okay, good.
This is not my thing.
Not your thing. And you can't even get a popcorn run and then come back because there's going to be something else happening that's not your thing.
Yes, That's tough. And I didn't even know that there was a drive-in that had porn movies.
It's hilarious. Diana, thanks for the call. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
With the in-laws, no less. With the in-laws. Oy. Stevens in Roseville. Steven, share with the group.
Yeah, Uptown Theater, re-release of Last Tango in Paris, okay. First date. Have you seen Last Tango in Paris?
I haven't. What's the scene you're speaking of, my friend? You'll have to share. You'll have to tell all of us.
Well, there's a scene where Marlon Brando forces himself on a young woman in not the regular location to have sex.
Okay.
And I looked at my date and I said, don't worry, that's not happening on the first date.
And then she replied, you bet your butt that's not happening on the first date.
That's pretty much exactly what it was. Yeah, you got the double entendre.
Stephen, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Oh, boy, this segment could go badly very quickly, but we're going to try to keep it on the rails. Bill's in his car. Bill, you have a story for us?
Yes, I do. When I was... In 1970, I was listening in my bedroom to the Woodstock album, and my mom walked in with a load of laundry during the fish cheer.
Tell me, what's the fish? Oh, go ahead, Dan.
He can describe it, but just be careful.
Okay.
It starts with, give me an F.
Okay, got it. Okay, yeah. Mom didn't like that. Did she take away the album?
No, but she listened to the whole thing, and then she said, what is that? And I explained it was from Woodstock. She said, I knew you guys should never go there.
I love it.
I didn't.
I love it. Oh, Bill, thanks for the call. Funny. Thanks for the call. I know. Even just last night, I was watching South Park, which I know better. I should not have been watching South Park with one of my kids, and there was a ridiculous sex scene, and I did the very same thing. I just sat there like... ignoring it, and she just sat there ignoring the inappropriateness of all of it, and we moved forward from there. And yeah, South Park, I know I was kind of asking for it with South Park because it gets a little dicey there, but whew, I'm a little sweaty just thinking about this whole segment, and I was feeling your guys' embarrassment. Thanks for taking that ride with me, John Hickenlooper, man. Good stuff. It's also 3:46. That is a Wixon Jewelers time check. I want you to visit the custom jewelry experts at Wixon for their exquisite jewelry handcrafted in-house and designed exclusively for you. Jordana here, Dan Cook at the helm. Paul back in Pennsylvania visiting with his dad who is ill in the hospital. We'll be keeping you updated on Folker as soon as we hear it. What's the grossest thing you ever found in your food? I was drinking a can of Diet Coke. And yes, I drink Diet Coke. And...
like incessantly.
I do drink Diet Coke. I drink one Diet Coke
a
day.
You know, via IV, you can just make life a lot simpler.
I do. Carry
one of those carts around with you.
It would make it easier. Of course, my kids tell me that all the chemicals in that is probably going to kill me, which leads us to our next story about the pesticides found in 70% of produce sold. But the question I really want to ask you is, Have you ever found anything just really disgusting in your food? I was drinking a can of Diet Coke, and I guess I didn't have a straw, which I like to have, but I guess I, you know, you're tipping the can. And
for the environmentalists out there, you have none.
I have metal straws.
A reusable straw.
I do have a metal straw. Yeah. Right. I do. Now I do because
so you're not polluting the oceans.
Trying to save the world, right? Yeah. One straw at a time. So I tip the can back, and the soda's finished, and this like nugget of something hits my lips. Can't come out of the can because it's bigger.
Which is probably a good thing.
Because I don't really know. I don't know what it was. But it was like a sort of hard yet, you know, moist from the soda. And I realized quickly, I did not want to know what this was. The gag reflex happened.
Sure.
I threw away the can and then I just prayed that I didn't get sick because God only knows what the heck that was. Yeah. I never found out what it was, and I still don't want to know. I was reminded of this story when I read today that pesticide is found in 70% of the produce that you and I are eating even after we wash it. So you get the bag salad, even though it says pre-washed, you wash it anyway because you know what? You're a good person. You're a good mom. You're a good dad. You're a good single person. You don't want all that stuff, dead bugs or pesticides or whatever in your body. You wash the salad. More than 92% of kale tested contained two or more pesticide residues, according to an analysis. A single sample of conventionally farmed kale, I mean, really, who's eating kale anyway? You know, could contain up to 18 different pesticides.
Oh, good.
They're talking about stuff like that we actually do eat, not kale, because, I mean, really. Strawberries, spinach, avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, they had the lowest levels of residue because, you know, they have an exterior, an avocado, you know, it's hard to get in there, but they still had pesticides after washing.
See, everybody gives me grief because I don't like vegetables.
Oh,
I'm not getting E. coli from the romaine lettuce and I'm not getting pesticides. You know, I'm not going to have 16 forms of cancer from the pesticides.
Because you don't eat vegetables.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. That's absolutely I'm being healthy, not Jordana. The way to go. That is not the way to go. There is a food there is an organization that has something called the Dirty Dozen. It's a list of the foods that have the most toxins and the most chemicals on them, and it's really a problem. The Environmental Working Groups, that's what we're talking about, the Environmental Working Group says the foods that contain the most pesticides are strawberries. They have a skin that I get it. If you're spraying, you're not going to get rid of that. Spinach is next. Kale. See, this is what Dan's
right. Yeah, see, I don't
spinach and
stuff.
Kale. Nectarines. Who doesn't love a good nectarine?
I don't.
Not even fruit?
No.
You're like Maddox. My son doesn't eat fruit either.
I like that kid.
Is it the texture?
Usually with that stuff, it's a texture.
It's the texture. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Like apples I'm fine with. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you eat no vegetables?
Well, I mean, they listed sweet corn there. I don't think sweet corn is technically a vegetable, but if you want to count that, yeah.
You eat potatoes?
Yeah, although I don't think that counts as a vegetable.
Probably not. No. French fries do not.
Yeah, but I don't like mashed potatoes. Again, a texture thing.
You don't like mashed potatoes?
No.
Mashed potatoes are delicious.
Well, that's great.
Not for Dan.
Not for me, yeah.
Grossest thing you found in your food, 651-989-9226. Kale was number three, most pesticides, nectarines. Apples, you got to wash them, Dan. And this is after they were washed, my friends.
Yeah.
This is unfortunate. Grapes, the grapes are delicious now. I just bought grapes for the kids last week.
Yeah,
delicious. Peaches. I could see why the peaches and the nectarines, because they're kind of fuzzy on the outside. I know that's grossing you out because you don't eat them. But I can see why that would hold on to some of the pesticides that's used. So peaches are seven. Cherries. Love cherries. Pears, tomatoes, celery, and potatoes. The ones with the fewest pesticides. And I still don't think that we might be able to convince Dan Cook to eat any of these,
no.
According to the Environmental Working Group, by the way, part of the SDA, the USDA. Fewest pesticides, avocados, and I still rinse the avocado before I open it up. You would never eat an avocado.
No.
You would never eat
an
avocado. Oh, you're missing out, buddy. You are missing out.
Okay.
The sweet corn.
I'm missing out on pesticides is what I'm missing out on.
It's the worst. The sweet corn, fewest, amazing. Again, the husk, it's protected. The shell, we got it going on here in Minnesota. Pineapples, of course, they have a nice hard, you know, outside. Frozen sweet peas. So I guess if you freeze them, maybe it kills a lot of the pesticides. Onions, of course, because you got to peel them. Papayas, eggplants, asparagus. I can't stand asparagus. And not just because it makes your pee smell bad. Cannot stand it. Kiwis, cabbages, and cauliflower. Jay's in Andover. Jay, are we sure that I want to hear this story? Oh, no, I lost him. The reason I ask Jay that, he told you what he was going to say, Dan.
Yeah, that he found a cockroach in his pancake at one point,
Was it a pancake that he made?
I didn't get to that far. I would assume it was someone that he was served. I would hope.
A cockroach? Yeah. That's got to be. Look, if you find a little ladybug in your strawberries, no one's going to die from that. But a cockroach in your pancake?
No, thank you.
No, thank you very much is what I mean. All right. We'll talk more about this a little bit later in the show. When we get back, Gail Rosenblum, the editor of the Inspired column at the Star Tribune. She's going to share all the positive stories that she has coming out on Sunday. And in Beyond the Headlines, have you done the Florida Man Challenge? Let's talk after the news.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.